We're going to get ready for our guest speaker this morning. How many have heard Rod and Jenny Carlson? Would you just wave at me? Have you been here in church when Rod and Jenny have been here? Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, we know we're in for a special treat as we sit and listen to the Word of God. And Jenny isn't with us today because she went to a class reunion. Yes. And I was just getting an update on where they're living, and he said they don't live anywhere. That's where they live. And so when they're traveling this direction, they usually get a hold of us so that we can have them in for them to minister to us. And so let's stand today and give a warm welcome to Rod Carlson from Living Lagos today.
I wondered where I left this thing. I guess I'll leave it there. Maybe there's a good chance I'll make it home. Now, one thing with you, where can I wander? I mean, if I have to really make a good point, I want to be able to get real close.
That's good.
Let me tell you a quick, it's not a story, but it's something God got a hold of us about a couple of years ago, and it ties in with our offering, the offering this morning. Jenny and I have always been tithers for years. We've been tithers, and faithfully so. But about 2 years ago, we were ministering at a church in Cedar City, Utah. How many know where Cedar City, Utah is? Okay, we have a few of them here. Okay, one of you. Okay. It's that way. And the pastor has and his wife have been good friends of ours. So we pulled in, I think, on a Friday. Had a night's sleep. And then the next afternoon, Pete came and knocked on the door and says, "Hey, the family's going to Sizzler. Want to come for supper?" "Oh, sure." So we went. It was Pete and Cammie, their four kids, Cammie's mom, and us two. Pete walked in, and as you know at Sizzler, you pay before you eat. And before we had reached the table, Pete had already given the server a $100 tip. Well, my eyes grew a little bit larger. Then after we shared in two services the next morning, and then they said, "Well, let's go to Golden Corral. I think he likes buffets. I'm not sure." And as we walked in and Pete paid, he again gave the server a $100 tip. By the time we got back to the house, my eyes were this big, you know. And he says, "Let me tell you about this. 20 years ago, oh, no, not 20 years, at that time it was 17 years. 17 years ago when we came to plant this church, by the way, it is like a 98% Mormon community. They now have a church of between 450 and 500 people. And people just keep coming out of the to find Jesus, the real one, you know." But he asked the Lord, he and Cammie asked God to give them 20 years to be able to speak credibly into the life of that community. 20 years comes up next year, next spring. So, and when we got to about, now it's about 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, and God said, "I want you to show this town what my generosity looks like." And so they really felt, they were together, they felt like God was saying, when you go out for a meal, how many know it's real easy with a family of six to get to $100 for a meal pretty quickly? Okay. He said, "Up to $100, I want you to tip the bill." Now, that's a stretch for me. I have two sons that have spent years in food service, and so we've been in that 20% area for a long time. He said, Rod, and I looked around, he built himself a 6,400-square-foot house. He has a late-model pickup. His wife's got a new Hyundai Santa Fe. They've got a boat. It's not a new one, but it's just a boat. They can go play with the kids on the lake. And they own this house on 2 acres of land. He's even got a backhoe on a tractor in his backyard. And he said, Rod, and we've been good friends now for about 12, 13 years. He says, I don't know where these things come from. Because he's not a prosperity doctrine guy at all. Not at all. But he said, God asked us to show this town about his generosity. So, I said, that sounds right. That sounds good. So, a couple of weeks later, or a week later, we went to this place called the Asian Bistro that they like very much. Lots of sushi. And there were same gang, Pete, Cammie, Jenny, and I, the four kids, their four kids, plus two or three other kids from the church. We had this lovely meal, and the bill was $180. And he tipped the two girls that helped us $180 to split. Well, by now I can't see anymore. But about 2 weeks later, we said to Pete and Cammie, look, can we take you and the family out for supper just as a thank you? You know, I mean, when he built his house, he put a full RV hook up there so that we could come and park in his driveway and suck electricity out of his house. So we said, could we take you for supper over to the, I know everybody likes the Asian Bistro. And he said, okay, but you got to tip like I tip, because if you don't, I'm paying. I said, okay. Well, we were all ready to go, and that Saturday afternoon, 4:30, another couple, mutual friends, who pastored out in Idaho and Nevada and now live in Washington State on Whidbey Island, showed up unexpectedly. Hi, how are things going? Well, I guess you're coming for supper with us. The bill was $240. It's the most expensive meal I've ever bought. But you know, Jenny and I have never lacked. And there are times when God looks at us and says, do you really trust me? Do you really trust me? Now, we reach for our wallets, and this is kind of, you know, it's a representation of us and our time and our work. And has God ever asked you to empty your wallet in a church service? It's happened to me at least 2, maybe 3 times. And you kind of go, is there anybody else up there I can talk to? You know? But each time, been faithful to just, you know, you just reach in there, grab them all and put it in the plate, close your wallet and say, I'm not going for coffee after church. God has never let us down. But this was quite a lesson. I mean, this was one of those listen up lessons about trusting God to meet our needs. And one of the reason, what is it? Why does God say, he doesn't need our tithe, but why does he say, bring your tithes to the storehouse? Giving breaks the power of money over you. See? Giving and being generous breaks the power of that thing, that wallet. And it frees you into areas that you've never thought. And it doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or you're poor. God can take care of you. And at some point, he's going to ask you to really believe it. Now, I don't say this. I was waiting until after the offering was received. But I don't know. You may receive a love offering later. I didn't do that because there might be a love offering coming, folks. You listen to God. You listen to the Lord. And if he asks you to be generous in that way, just step into it. We don't learn about the generous heart of God by being stingy. or by sitting in the restaurant and calculating out, what is 15% of that? Okay, well, I'll rate the check for $37.16. You see, God is more generous than we can imagine. He gave his life so we could live. So if God rings your bell and says, today's your day, not today, I'm not talking about today. Sometime when God rings your bell and says, today is the day that I want you to trust me, that I have a generous heart. Just follow him and then watch what happens. Don't worry after you do it. It's kind of easy to worry a little bit, but just don't worry about it. Give, do what he asks you to do. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the one who brought you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light. We can trust him. So that's my story. Sorry it was 7 minutes. Well, this morning, what I'd like to do, and the interesting thing, I haven't done Ephesians very often of late, so I'd like to do the book of Ephesians for you. Now, as you're listening, just listen. Don't follow along, okay? Just leave your Bibles closed. That sounds weird in a church, doesn't it? It sounds a little weird, but here's the reason. If you have a different translation than the one I'm sharing, the New Living Translation, you will spend the next half hour comparing things. Not your job. If you have a New Living Translation first edition, you will invariably fall into, at least somewhere, can he really do this? Not your job. God wants to talk to you this morning. Jenny often says, when you're listening to the Word of God, you've got a really good chance of hearing his voice. So, when God pokes you with something, make a note of it, or if you're on your phone, just make one of those, you know, pull up notes. Okay, and then put the phone away. And then we'll talk about those afterward. Is that okay? Well, there's one of you that's really excited about that. Is that okay? Okay, so keep your antenna up, and here we go. This letter is from Paul, chosen to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. It is written to God's holy people at Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May grace and peace be yours, sent to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us. I said that differently than I've ever said it before, and immediately the next word left my mind. Do you know what? This is not a performance. This is just a presentation of Scripture. Yes, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. And this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God's mysterious plan has now been revealed to us. It's a plan that's centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure, and this is the plan. At the right time, God will bring all things together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning And all things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. Oh, that was that was an invitation. And you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when we believed, God identified us as his very own. The Spirit, by giving us the Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us all that he has promised and that he has purchased us to be his very own people. Just one more reason to praise our glorious God. Now, ever since I first heard about your strong faith in Jesus Christ and your love for other Christians, I've never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. I pray your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the wonderful future God has promised to those who he has called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance God has given to his people. And I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible wealth and power that he has made available to those who love him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of highest honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he's far above any ruler, authority, power, leader, or anyone else, or anything else in this world or the world to come. And he has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. See, the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything everywhere with his presence. Now, once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins, see, you used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of all those who refuse to obey God. And we all used to live that way, following the desires and passions of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature and were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loves us so very much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. It's only by God's special favor that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. And now we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Do you really believe that? We are seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we belong to Jesus Christ. So God can always look at us as examples of the incredible wealth and kindness God has accomplished for us through Christ Jesus. When you believed, God saved you by his special favor. And you can't take any credit for this. It is a gift from God. See, salvation is not a reward for all of the good things we've done. So we can never boast about it. But we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do those good things he planned for us long ago. And don't forget, you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies, not their hearts. In those days, you lived apart from God. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and did not know the promises God had made to them. You were living in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ. Though you were once far away from God, now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us, and by His death, He ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. Now, His purpose was to show His wisdom in all of its rich variety to all of the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. They will see this when they see Jews and Gentiles joined together in His church. This was His plan from all eternity. I need to check something because I'm wondering if I just jumped about a chapter. That's one of the things that sometimes happens when you're memorizing, and it's not like it's a great fault. But some parts of Scripture sound very much like other parts of Scripture. And sometimes your mind goes for a stroll. Yeah, His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from God and to us Jews who were near. So now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Now we are His house, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ Himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And through Him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Now I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus because of my preaching to you Gentiles. As you already know, God has given me this special ministry of announcing His favor to you Gentiles. And as I mentioned briefly earlier in this letter, God Himself has revealed the mystery of His plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand what I know about this plan regarding Christ. God has not revealed this to previous generations, but now He has revealed it by His Holy Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, and this is His plan. The Gentiles have an equal share with the Jews in all of the riches inherited by God's children. See, both groups have believed the good news, and both groups are part of the same body and enjoy together the promise of blessings through Christ Jesus. By God's special favor and mighty power, I've been given the wonderful privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I'm the least deserving Christian there is, I was chosen for this special joy of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ Jesus. I was chosen to explain to everyone this plan that God, the Creator of all things, kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose was to show his wisdom in all of its rich variety to all of the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. Now, they will see this when, and we'll get back to what I just told you in a minute ago, they will see this when Jews and Gentiles are joined together in his church. It was his plan from all eternity, and now it has been carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You want a favorite verse? Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. So please do not despair about what is happening to me here. It's for you that I'm suffering, so you should feel honored and encouraged. When I think of the wisdom and the scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ would be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Even though it's so great, you'll never fully understand it. But then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever, through endless ages. Amen. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. See, we are all one body. We have the same Spirit. We've been all called to the same glorious future. See, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And there is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. However, he has given to each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. Notice it says he ascended. What this means is Christ first came to this lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who has ascended higher than all of the heavens so that his rule might fill the entire universe. He is the one who has given these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and fully grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Ha How could I forget that? So you heard that about we will become mature, fully grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. The next line is, then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone told us something different. Or because someone cleverly lied to us, making the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He is the head of his body, the church. This went really well two or three times since yesterday afternoon when we talked. But I want to get this right. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, with the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. But that is not what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Since you've heard all about him, and you've learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and former way of life, rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, true. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong together. And do not sin by allowing anger to gain control of you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives the enemy a strong foothold in your life. Okay. If you're a thief, stop stealing. Begin to use your hands for honest work, and then give generously to others who are in need. And don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. Follow God's example in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life full of love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And you know, God was pleased, for that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to him. Let there be no sexual immorality I have to turn the page now. Oh, yes. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is really an idolater who worships the things of this world. So don't be fooled by those who would try to excuse such sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who refuse to obey Him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now they are full of light from the Lord. And your behavior should show this. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It's shameful even to speak of the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things are. And where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. As it is said, "Wake up, sleeper! Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't get drunk with wine. That will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing. You will sing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making music in your heart to the Lord. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Your wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, just as Christ is the head of his body, the church. He gave his life to be her Savior. So as the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious bride, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. No man hates his own body. He lovingly cares for it. Just as Christ lovingly cares for the church. And we are his body. You know, the scriptures tell us, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become united as one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of how Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, children, obey your parents. For it's, you know, you belong to the Lord, and it's the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends in a promise, and here's the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life filled with blessing. I want a word to you, fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely, as you would serve Christ. Work hard, but not just to make your masters happy when they're watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember, the Lord will reward each one of us according to the good we do, whether we're slave or free. In the same way, you masters must treat your slaves right. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. A final word. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Use every piece of God's armor to stand firm against all of the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. So put on every piece of God's armor, so that after the battle, you will still be standing strong. Amen. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the preparation to preach the good news of peace with God. And put in every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop all of the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And put on salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words as I boldly explain the mystery of His plan, that the good news is for the Gentiles too. I'm in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador, but pray for me that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. Tychicus, a much-loved brother and a faithful helper in the Lord's work, will tell you all about how I'm getting along. I'm sending him to you for that very purpose. He'll let you know how we are, and he will encourage you. Now may God give you peace, dear friends, and love with faith from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the grace of God be upon all those who love our Lord, Jesus Christ, with an undying love. Let's pray. Father, just before I came up here, and my heart was a little concerned about just getting through well, and you told me, relax, boy. It's my job. So God has been digging around in hearts in this room. Father, we thank you for that. That you are, it's an interesting term, the hound of heaven, who is not deterred by shallow rejections. You pursue us for your kingdom and your family. So thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you for the salvation you brought to us, that we could live, regardless of our circumstances, free inside because of your grace. Listen with your heads bowed just for a moment. Is there anybody here who has never before taken the step of asking Christ to be your Lord and Savior? I mean, it's kind of two-step, because when you come to Him and admit your need of Him and the cleansing, and you repent and confess your life of sin, the blood of Jesus takes care of that. And He makes you, as we read earlier, as you heard earlier, instead there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature, because you're a new person. You are a new person. God just doesn't fix a few things. He makes you new. That's step one. And then as you come to realize and experience the forgiveness of God, there's this thing of letting Christ become truly the Lord of your life, whereby you receive instruction and guidance. And oh, Father, in 1 Peter chapter 2, you say, you are placing a stone in Zion, that's Christ, and anyone who believes on Him will never be disappointed or ashamed. Would you like to live not disappointed, not ashamed? If that's you, if today's your day to get right with God, would you just raise your hand? We're not making a big deal about this, but just raise your hand for a moment, and then we can pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Okay. Can the rest of you just kind of pray for a moment? I just want to have a small chat with my new friend here. There's only a couple of things that are needed. And by raising your hand, sister, you've already taken the huge step of saying, God, I'm ready. So just in your own words, just tell God, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. I need one who can make me new and clean my life of sin. Just cleanse it. So would you make me one of your kids? I want to be a part of your family. And I do confess, I just want to be right with God. I want to be right with you. I receive Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as the qualifying agent and the cleansing agent for my sin that ushers me into the kingdom of God. And then all you do, next one, is just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, are you happy about that? Okay, let's show it. Come on. Come on. You know, sorry. I'll just come stand here and then you don't have to keep. You know, there's a dance party going on in heaven right now. Right? You know? It's the angels, they're partying. Why? Because someone came to know Jesus. These occasions should be absolutely blow away celebration moments. When you think, what's that chorus? It was a song from the Gaither Vocal Band. The devil lost a good gal, and God gained a better one. Okay. Well, what did you hear in Ephesians? I know it was a little faltering there, but what did you hear in Ephesians? What stuck out? Okay. Well, that was met by a tremendous burst of silence. Anybody? Yeah. Something I noticed, and I did not notice, I've done this, I don't know, maybe 100 times, but this time, Janet and Leonard, I noticed between chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapter 3 is that wonderful passage of Scripture where you know, by God's mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or hope. Do you know what infinitely means? Try to come up with your biggest dream and then multiply it by forever. The next line is, may He be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. The next line is, so I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. And it occurred to me that that verse before is the calling. Look, we've equipped you this way. I have equipped you. I've filled you. I have empowered you. That's not definitively the call. It's tied also to giftings and abilities and those kinds of things. But God's infusion of heaven's power in us weak little old humans is a tremendous amount of that call. Don't say, oh, I can't do that. If God's calling you to do something, remember chapter 3 of Ephesians 14 through 21 and read that. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. May Christ be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. What does it mean to be at home? Give me some feedback here. What does it mean to be at home? What makes home home? Yes! Yeah, there's a refrigerator there. Hallelujah. You know? But what else? What else? That's excellent. But what else? Comfort. Yeah. Comfort. You're comfortable at home. You're welcomed at home. Now, I say that somewhat guardedly because not everybody finds home to be welcoming. It's one of the sensitivities we kind of have around the holiday season, Christmas season, because for quite a number of people, Christmas holds really no joy or welcome. That's part of our job there, too, is transparently, openly, just giving them a point of invitation to come and find out what the love of Jesus is. So, anybody else? Anything stick out? I noticed you were taking notes, Janet, but we're chosen. We're chosen. Yes. And there was more than one place in this book where it was described, we're described as that. Yeah.
I liked, he is so rich in kindness.
And rich in mercy a little later on. He's so rich in mercy. And he loves us so very much that even while we were dead in sin, he gave us life. He made the way for life. That's something. Yeah, thanks. I noticed you were taking notes. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, I know there's a gal that's gotten a lot of mileage out of labeling, or part of her deal. She's a Christian comedian. Oh, I can't remember her name now. But she said, God uses cracked pots. And I understand what she's saying. But he doesn't leave us cracked. See? He makes us new. Yeah, you can still be a crackpot, but a new one. You don't see. Okay. Well, look, we have, and Jenny wishes very much she could be here, but she had a chance to meet with a small group of her high school friends that were all part of their home church. And so Jenny went back to Colorado and is having a lot of fun with her friends. They went to church last night. And but she wishes she was here. But the reason we do what we do isn't because I like wearing a dress, but it's not bad. But we've come to challenge you to embrace the discipline of memorizing Scripture. How many have heard this before? A few of you have. Yeah, sure. Well, we're back. Yeah. This is a challenge that sometimes takes a few exposures to just sink in. We've seen so many people raise their hand and say, this is something I really need to be doing. Do all of them do it? No, if I'm honest. But we have churches across the country that keep saying, would you come back again? Would you come back again? It's not because we do such an incredible job. It's because they want this to be central in your life. See? So, we want to challenge you to go find a chapter. Oh, yep, a whole chapter. A chapter of Scripture. There are long ones and short ones. I'm not going to tell you where the short ones are, so you'll have to go dig for them. But find a chapter, and then do your best in the next 3 months to make it your own. And do it this way. The first thing you should do for the first 30 days is read it out loud once a day. Pick your chapter and start reading it. Take 5 to 7 minutes each day, every day, to read it out loud. Let your ear hear your mouth speaking the Word of God. So at the end of that month, you are going to know what's in that chapter after reading it through for 30 days. You will know what's in there. You won't have it memorized, but you will have bits in there memorized. Then take the next 2 months and assemble it and just review it, review it. Reviewing sounds like school. And it doesn't always sound fun, but there is a unique difference between a science or a mathematics textbook and the Word of God. As you start getting these sentences to fit and you're reviewing through it, you start hearing God talk to you. And it's probably the number one impetus to keep going. The only thing we suggest beyond that is you might want to start in the first chapter of a book. If you want to pick one of you know, Paul's books, Peter, James, John, you could do Philemon and have a whole book in one chapter. Then you could be proud of that. And God will deal with your pride and send you on to Lamentations. So, but just for 3 months, it sounds like an exercise and it sounds like a drudgery. It is not a drudgery. Just read it. Read it out loud. For 30 days, once a day for 30 days. And we're trusting that God will ignite in you not only a desire to get that memorized, because in 3 months you will have a chapter of Scripture no one can ever take away from you. No one can take it away from you. And maybe if God gets you for a chapter, He might get you for two. And maybe for a book. Jenny and I never believed we could do this. Not a bit. And God's not in a hurry. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Just memorize what you can as you're getting ready to go to bed. That's when I memorized most of my things. But when we were here last, we did, and this usually took for a book like Philippians or Ephesians, it took about a year for us to get in that way, get all through. And then when we were here last time, we did Galatians. And the story there briefly is that in 3 weeks, Jenny and I basically memorized the book of Philippians. I did chapter 1 through 4. Jenny did 5 and 6. We'd never done that before. We'd never been able to do that before. And the process was read it once a day out loud for 30 days. And then just moved toward assembling it. Now, we were a little more intent because 7 weeks down the road when we started, we had to do Galatians in a church in Montana. But so we had a little bit of a push, but you can do this, folks. My mom started when she was 84 years old, and she just told me that her mind didn't work that way anymore. And then she let me know about 3 months later that, oh, by the way, Rod, I've memorized the first 8 verses of Ephesians in King James. And then from there on out through the year, whenever I'd talk to her, she'd add another verse or two. And by the end of the year, she had chapter 1 of Ephesians memorized. She was 84 years old. So, you can do this. How many want to join the adventure? 1, 2, 3. Oh, I surprised you all. 1, let's see, try again. 1, 2, 3. Some of you didn't want to raise your hand because she was going to turn around and take a picture with this camera, see. But some of you who did not raise your hands, you're going to get home this week, and sometime during the week you're going to say, that probably is a good thing to do. So we'll do it. Thank you for allowing me again to come. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Leonard. Appreciate it. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. At this time, we'd like to receive an offering for Living Logos. And you can make your checks payable to the River of Life, and we will give Rod one check to take home with him. And we just so appreciate him coming. And we miss Jenny. Tell her we missed her. So we appreciate him coming. And did you enjoy it? Yeah, I took a lot of notes. I've got some things written down there because while the Word of God goes forward, you know, it feeds your soul. And it's those little tidbits that'll help you through the week. And so it's always important to write it down so that you have it. So at this time, we're going to bless our offering. Father, we thank you for the seed that's being sown today. Thank you, Lord, that we can honor the man and woman of God today. Lord, and by sowing into the ministry, Lord, that you have assigned them to. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We ask you to bless this seed, Lord, and bless those that have committed to memorize, Lord. Continue to work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hide your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.